Many greetings we have to extend from all who love the Lord. And we just have to say it for the truth's sake. He who truly loves God, he loves all who are born of God. He who has trouble with this deceives himself. He has put a new garment over an old nature. He who received a new life from God has the nature of Jesus Christ. And the nature of Jesus Christ is the love of God, manifested in the shape of a man. We don't need to make efforts to love, but we love with all our heart, even regardless of the several interpretations, because we know exactly that it is the enemy and not the beloved brothers, but the enemy who brings discord into the church of the living God. And therefore, we certainly cannot be against any brother, but only the enemy's game shall be put to a stop. Brother Rus mentioned a handkerchief here, and I want to say this here once, very clearly. With Brother Branham, this was a bit different. He has, as he said it in the film, or somewhere he said it, that a sack full of handkerchiefs was brought, according to the number of people, thousands or tens of thousands. We don't have this problem. And I say this very openly. We want to do everything as biblically as it can be done. And I don't read in the Bible that Paul prayed over handkerchiefs. I don't read that he anointed them with oil, as it is the case with some churches of the full gospel. But this I read, that they took his handkerchiefs, and them they brought to the sick. Whoever brings me a handkerchief, this I will use. I've never said this publicly, but since many years I'm led with my heart to take then this handkerchief and wipe the sweat with it while preaching, and then to hand it over in the faith and confidence that the preached word becomes the power of God to them who believe it and accomplishes for what God has sent it for. But this only as an aside. So much I also say from here. I have no time. The time which I have, I must arrange and schedule and use it for the matter of God. When I think on all the journeys, on everything what has to be done, then it's hard for me to be sometimes briefly in conversations, and I might give the impression that I don't mean it well. But Brother Branham said, either I can devote myself to the cause of God or to men. A bit of time I always have, but hours and days I don't have. I only have it for the cause of God. May the Lord give us deacons who care about earthly things, who take over tasks. In the days of Moses, his father-in-law Jethro came to him, a pagan, and said, "Listen, this is not right that you have to do everything alone. Look around where people are who can take over tasks. I would like to look for brothers who can take over tasks, and may God just bless them and lay it upon their heart." Now we will look into the Word. I didn't even have time to look up the Scriptures, but you all know how we do it here. We believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in worked out sermons. We believe that the Word speaks to us wherever we open it, and that God, through every scripture, can speak to everyone and give the answer. If one reads the letters to the Ephesians, then one feels the depth that Paul had in spiritual things. And when he writes in the letter to the Romans, oh, what a depth of wisdom and of the knowledge of God. Then these were not only words, this was reality to him. He had an insight into the depth and into the height, into the width and into the breadth of the divine plan of salvation. However, by revelation, and the same we can also say, when I today remembered the meeting in Brussels, the word came to me from Revelation 15. I don't read it now, you all know it. There it says, of the multitude of overcomers at the sea of glass. And here the thought came to me, how crystal clear God revealed unto us His Word. For me, going beyond every understanding, no man could have made it clear to us. People have always written, and there are many comments about God's Word. Some go even deep. Knowledge increased. But we don't live in the days where knowledge is added to knowledge. We live in the time in which God reveals everything. And I want to say this very clearly. If God reveals something, then behind this revelation there can be seen something. There is something. There are people who speak of revelation. And if one asks what the content is, what the thing is of this revelation of which they speak, then there is no content. Then there's no thing. Then there's only the term revelation. And behind it, everything is empty. That's not how it is with God. When the first words or lines were written in Revelation 1, then there's written revelation of Jesus Christ. And if it says revelation of Jesus Christ, this means unveiling of Jesus Christ, then He must be seen. If He was revealed, if He was unveiled, then we must see Him as He is. If we don't see Him, then He was not revealed unto us. Thus it is with everything. If God has revealed something to us, then we must see it clear, not blurred, but see it quite clearly. John, who received the revelation of Jesus Christ, he saw Him who was revealed to him. Hallelujah! He saw Him walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. He saw the seven stars in His right hand. He heard Him speak with a mighty voice. It was not only the word revelation. It was a thing that was revealed. And I believe we can testify to this just as it was testified then. When Brother Branham uses the term revelation, then we know what is meant by it. That what was earlier hidden, but the thing was there, only it was hidden, and then it was revealed. When it is revealed, then you see the thing that was revealed. I think this is something precious. We have the term revelation not only in the Holy Scripture, we also used it ourselves many times. And Paul also writes to the Ephesians, what was previously hidden to the children of men, this he has now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Everything divine is built upon revelation. And faith leads into this revelation. And faith in Jesus Christ leads to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see him as he is, who he is. We see him walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. We hear him speak and understand what it means when it is written, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. God inspired by the Spirit his servants and prophets. And I want to tell you, therein is the secret. Many heard only Paul in their time. And they even said, his speech is of no account. Who is he anyway? And they thought, yes, this is Paul. Then there were others to whom Paul could write, you did not receive the word which we preached as the words of men, but as the word of God, what it is indeed. Some saw the man, others saw the work of God, the message of God, the revelation of God, the word of God. To them it was revelation. The others saw only the outward tabernacle. Was it not like this with our Lord and with all the prophets? Did not the multitude say, we know him and his brothers and his sisters? They stay with us. From where has he this authority and this miracle powers? They knew him after the flesh, but not after the Spirit, so that our Lord had to call out, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And he didn't wait for that somebody gives the answer. He himself gave the answer. All who do the will of my heavenly Father, these are my brothers and sisters. Sometimes we give the answer and don't wait until he gives it. The thought that God has revealed his word to us crystal clear overwhelms me. And this is not just a claim. This is reality. And I say once again, we don't live in the days in which people search and search and interpret, nothing against it. Whoever reads the expositions of Martin Luther about the letters to the Romans, He has to take his hat off. He must simply say, this man had such an insight as it was unique on earth. This we admit. But when it is about revelation, then we must say, there was not the time for that back then. But now, now is the time of the divine revelation of all things. And for this we are grateful. When God speaks, his speech is clear. When he reveals something, then also. Then one does not need to teach the other. Then we are all taught by God. And see the same through the same Spirit because of the same word. That what was read to us here from Ephesians chapter 2 is actually the core of the proclamation. What would it be if we would speak about revelation and should be reminded on Isaiah 28, when God said to the prophet, whom do you want to teach revelation? For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness and so forth, that there is no place clean. Revelation can only be taught there and be passed on, where people come into God's sanctuary and leave everything on behind and know that the veil was torn, that the Ark of the Covenant is in view, and there no man speaks anymore. There God speaks to the people. Also this we understood. This is not the time in which people speak about God. This is the time in which God spoke to us through a prophet. We are grateful for it. In the same way, we must say, many have heard him, and many were enthused, and many used the term, the prophet said, and also with this, we can make no progress. Everything what the prophet said came from the word of God and leads again back into the word of God. He who has this revelation that this is a divine cycle, for thus it is written in the prophet Isaiah, the word that goes forth from my mouth will not return unto me void. It does return, but not void. It accomplishes for what God has sent it for. At all times, every time when God gave a message, there were people who receive it and people who reject it. And all who received it, they confirmed by it that God is true. They not only believed in God, they believed God. Herein is the big question today. Would you be able to ask the devil, do you believe in God? No one would answer yes any faster or louder. It is written in James, you believe that there is one God, thou doest well. But also the devils believe and tremble. The faith in God is a very general thing. But who is ready to believe God? How can I believe God? By believing that what he said. And what did he say? How did he speak? Here is the speaking of God. Here is the word of God. And by this we also see and understand why our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. from how many pulpits, also this Bible verse is proclaimed. Of course, all over the world, all who stand in the front, they can read from the same Bible every scripture. The cleric and who they may be, they all can say, "My sheep hear my voice," with the difference, the one with a bit more anointing, the other a bit slower, the third a bit faster. But what is the actual matter? Only those who have really become sheep of his pasture, they understand this. Only those understand it who are born of him and who have really become partakers of his divine nature. The Holy Scripture is being read all over, and we see it, how politicians pick out scriptures. What right have they for it? People who believe the Word of God, to them it is revealed. They receive a connection to God through the Word. This we emphasized many times. By the proclamation of the Word, people are brought into connection with God. Not with a thing, but with God. And then being placed with God into the matter of God. Also, this is very important. We also mentioned it. When John was sent, he had the commission to prepare the way for the Lord. Not for himself, but for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the path for our God. Not that a prophet prepares himself the way to then be successful, but prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight a path for our God. Every mountain shall be made low, and every valley shall be exalted. For what? So that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. More Brother Branham did not want. As forerunner for the second coming of Jesus Christ, he should prepare the way for the Lord. And every stumbling block should be taken out of the way for the people who should follow the Lord. For also this is written, "Take away every stumbling block." And also there, many things had to be cleaned up, and some things have to be still cleaned up. And to this, God must give us grace. The word here, in Ephesians 2, from verse 4, for instance, this verse Brother Branham used for a sermon. It says here, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." What a wonderful word! Paul had also recognized this secret. The bride was in the bridegroom. She died with him, was crucified with him, buried with him, rose with him unto a new life. And what does Brother Branham and the Holy Scripture say? We don't need to mention him that often, for he didn't say anything else but what God's word says. All who ever get saved were already saved on Calvary. There the redemption was accomplished. Now it is our task, because we don't know whom God will save. Therefore, We have to go into all the world to preach the gospel, so that all who are ordained for salvation get saved. And therefore, the Holy Scripture says in the prophet Isaiah, "Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." I tell you something today, also that what we just read now must be divinely revealed and transfigured to us by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we will ask all our life for the salvation of our soul, for justification, for forgiveness, until we finally lie desperate on the deathbed. And this God doesn't want. It must be revealed to us by God, as certain as Jesus Christ suffered, died and was crucified and was buried, and as he rose on the third day according to the scripture. So certain we were in him, for thus it is written, before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us in Christ and predestinated us to be sons and daughters of God. After all, these are the thoughts which Paul expressed in the letters to the Ephesians in such a clear way. Has it become a divine revelation to you that you died with Christ, that you were crucified with him, that you were buried with him, that you don't exist anymore at all, that you don't live at all, but that Christ wants to live his life in you and in me? There are then people who then mix up the divine and spiritual with the earthy human and keep getting into a crisis of conscience, and the devil takes care that they move in a circle. I have today thought about it, and I looked in my album, in which I have many photos of Brother Branham, and I saw him there in a cowboy outfit, on one picture with a rifle, then with a shot animal, whatever it was, and it went on, and one picture with a beard that grew for 3 weeks, and the thought came to me, if the priests and high priests would see a man in such a format, and somebody would then come up with a thought and say to the high priest, do you know that this is a prophet of God? The prayer book would fall out of the man's hand, and he would run away and say, listen, I believe you are totally mistaken. You must have meant somebody else. No. We didn't mean anyone else. What do I want to say? A prophet of God. And yet, with both feet on earth. And this is what we are missing. We sometimes want to be with the feet in heaven, and with the heart we are on earth, instead of being with the feet on the earth, and to be with the heart in heaven. We have put some things upside down, and therefore we have so much trouble with ourselves and with one another. Last night I laughed. There were occasions for it. I didn't laugh since months, but last night I laughed, because there was an occasion for it. And I thought by myself, what would the people say if they would see me now? That after many years I had a reason to be convulsed with laughter. We have to remain humans. We must know where the earthy realm belongs and where the divine belongs. I say it again. If somebody, in earlier days when I seen it, there the people walked with a prayer book, with a long robe. They looked over the book, they know their prayers inside out. If earthy seen, somebody would say, Caiaphas, who was so decorated, like a Santa Claus. This could be the right man. But the man in the cowboy outfit, with a thick leather girdle, as you can only see it in Texas. And this shall be a prophet. And I tell you today, more than a prophet. He not only prophesied, as John did not prophesy either. He has put prophecy upon the lampstand. He has shown Bible prophecy in its fulfillment and in its realization. The prophets spoke of it. John could show how it is fulfilled. That's how it was with the ministry of Brother Branham. Prophets and apostles, also our Lord, all spoke of the last days. And God sent a man, not only a prophet who announces things, but a prophet who found the things announced and prophesied. He digged it out and put it upon the lampstand, so that all can see it, to whom God reveals it. The things can be shown by God in a clear way, as it can be. But unless God opens our eyes, we cannot see it. Look, at the first coming of the Lord, it was written in the prophet Isaiah 35, the Lord, thy God, will come and save you, and so forth. And then the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and the tongue of the dumb will speak. Everything was written. It took place. It was among them. And yet they didn't see it. And then the Lord gave the parable and said, I have come for this reason into the world, that the blind become seeing, and those who see get blind. And already the scribes felt addressed and said to one another, does he mean us, that we are blind? And then the Lord gives the answer. He looked through their thoughts and says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you think you see, therefore your sin remains. What was it? People thought to have a clear view and an insight. Only God can give it. And to it one has to be ordained by God. Nobody can say, all right, dear God, now I'm here, and now I do the thing, now I do the thing, and I want your assistance. It doesn't work like that. God must call, God must commission, God must give ministries, He must reveal. And then we just need to follow the Spirit of God, not more. And to that, what He has spoken, we may not and we do not need to add anything. May God reveal it to us today, what is written here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. How many believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How many believe that we rose together with Him? This is the mystery. Yes, here you may say, but we are still waiting for a translation of our bodies. Paul has been waiting for it too. And yet he said, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. And he said, when the time comes that we will put off the earthly tabernacle, then we have a building made by God. He could place all these things correctly, and this we also must do. Here it is then emphasized, by grace ye are saved. Amen. By grace. And then it says, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is this right, what I'm reading here? I'm not reading here from a newspaper or a magazine. I'm reading from the Word of God, from Ephesians chapter 2. I read precious and true words of God. But the words have to become a revelation to us, so that it sparks in us. And that is what we lack. We hear the Word, and it does not overwhelm us. We have to make efforts to say an Amen or a Hallelujah. I wish the time that we would struggle to not say it, that the page would totally turn. Somebody, I can actually say it, it was last Sunday in Zurich, there came two ladies and they said, Mr. Frank, we are here for the first time, but we want to let you know that we have just a little bit of time. And please don't be angry when we then stand up in the midst of your speech and go out. This has nothing to say. We have an obligation. And I said, dear ladies, just feel free as you can be, but take your seats next to the exit. I said it lovingly, and I meant it that way. And really, both stood up in the midst of the sermon, because some kind of another event took place here in this building, which they wanted to attend. This they didn't need to tell me. Actually, nobody needs to tell me anything, let alone telling me everything. I also won't tell you everything either. But what shall I tell you? A few minutes passed, and behold, I don't know whether it was 10 or 20 minutes. I don't look on the watch while preaching. Partly one is transferred into eternity and not in time anymore. But so much I then still understood. The two ladies come in with a bowed head and take their seat, and the Word of the Lord spoke to them and grabbed them. And at the end of the meeting, they came both to the front. One could see how the tears took their course, and they said, Mr. Frank, would you forgive us? We didn't know you. We wanted to attend another meeting. We only read the advertising in the newspaper. But the few minutes in the other room showed us the difference. Please forgive us. We come here. Here God's word is being preached. God is still on the throne, and everything is subject to Him. And somewhere also somebody made a remark and said, Brother Frank, does it not bother you when somebody goes out? No, I said, and I also want to tell you why not. Because I know precisely that the tide turns and the time comes where people during the sermon will not go out, but they will come in to hear the word of the Lord. This time comes. This time comes. The Spirit of God will still work in a mighty way. But it is not us who work all this, but really the Spirit of God. And what would we wish more, that also we would be grabbed anew? Do you not also have sometimes the impression that the winter has somehow come into the church and everything is a bit cold? Would not a spring, a warmness, a refreshing, a coming forth of new life, would it not do well to us? I have here a word from the Old Testament. There God speaks to the people of Israel. In Hosea chapter 5, the last lines, and then in chapter 6, God says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early and say, Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The other translation says, and will have new life. Praise be to our God. One day with God is as our 1,000 years. The prophet prophesied by the inspiration of the Spirit. After 2 days, so after 2,000 years, and this time is now almost over, I will turn to them again, and on the third day I will revive them. I will raise them up. It says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. Here we probably notice that with all our calculations we are not so correct. Do you get what I mean? There are mathematicians. They can not only find the root of a number, but they also pull some kind of root and wisdom tooth. Let us read here in the Holy Scripture. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, that we shall live in his sight. Amen. This is God's holy word. So let us forget all calendars, ours and that of others. And let us believe what God's word says. Let us not count on everything, but only with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, with the return of Jesus Christ. Who wants anyway to calculate with years? Biblically, it's 360. We calculate with 365. What kind of difference comes up here over 1 or 2,000 years? Let us forget all calculations. Let us only count with God, with the fulfillment of his word, with the calling out of his bright church, with the preparation, with the turning to Israel. For this word is addressed to them. After 2 days, he will revive us. Praise God. Everything comes to fulfillment before our eyes. Coming back to this word that we mentioned already a couple of times, and I just quote it, and then I come back to Ephesians. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It doesn't say in him was a doctrine or a knowledge. In him was life. The life of God was in him. And whoever reads 1 John 5 verse 20, there it says, he is the true God and eternal life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not the wonders, not the signs, but the life. The divine life was the divine testimony here on earth. And when we are then told everything what was in God was poured into Christ, and what was in Christ was poured into the church, then we must really count with it now, that we not only have a doctrine, that means teaching, yes, we are grateful for it, but that divine life can be manifested in divine authority. And the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. And do you know that He, in His earthy body, as Son of Man, said the same? John 5, verse 19. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. Who are we that we could do something or know what we have to do? There are people who always know. When this program doesn't work anymore, then comes a new one. They always know what to do. But to this, we are neither born nor born again. We know that we have to give an account before God. And when I today received the phone call about the passing of our brother, the word came to me from Psalms. Teach us to number our days that we may live wisely. Only that person who understands that one day he has to die and has to appear in judgment, to him is given a little bit of divine wisdom. All the others just live as if they never have to give an account before God. Teach us to number our days so that we get wise. Let us come back here to our word. Divine life can only be manifested after we died. Therefore, it is written, He has brought eternal life and immortality to light. Yes, where? In whom? Where does God dwell today? Certainly, one can say the throne of God is in heaven and God dwells in heaven. This is also true. Is it not written, God dwells with them who are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit? Is it not written, I will dwell and walk among them and will be their God? Do we not have enough promises in the Word of God that show us clearly that God is not only in heaven but also on earth? But when somebody tells me, if he wants to find God, that he then has to go into nature, oh, then I would wish with all my heart to be able to say, if you want to find God, then come into the church, come into a service. Would this not be nice if we could say this to the people? Do you want to experience that? I want it. I want to experience when somebody tells me, if I want to find God, then I go into the nature. Oh, then I want to tell him, this burns in my heart. Then I want to tell him, if you want to find God, then come to Jesus Christ, come and experience God, who revealed himself in Christ. Also this we emphasized over and again. We can only meet God there where He has met us. God only reveals Himself to us there where He has revealed Himself to us, namely in Jesus Christ our Lord. And if somebody thinks to have a revelation of God that bypasses Christ, this does not exist, it doesn't work. Christ is the revelation of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and so forth. When? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. And therefore, this revelation was given to us by His grace. Now briefly, the next verses, and made us sit together in heavenly places. Can you believe it? We who we walk with both feet here on earth, sometimes with an albatross around the neck. And then we shall sit with Christ in heavenly places. Today, you must decide whether you want to believe what surrounds you and what you see, or whether you want to believe what God has said and done. What do you want to believe today? Whom do you want to believe? Yourself, the circumstances, and everything around you? Or do you want to believe what God has said here? To my opinion, we have decided not only to believe in God, but to believe Him. Namely, to believe that, what He said. He raised us together with Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is true. This is 100% right, for that's what the scripture says. And there will be no other redemption. A perfect work took place on Calvary. What are we waiting for? And also for this I'm grateful to God, that Paul, this man, not only wrote Romans 8, but also Romans 7. I'm grateful to God that this man could write, we are sealed unto the day of our bodily redemption. We are redeemed, but in hope, and wait for it, because a hope that is already seen is no hope at all. So, we have to wait until the fullness of the Gentiles be come into the church. And then the Lord comes with a trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. Then the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will then experience the changing of our bodies. Do you know what must be said here? Many are busy to change their body and do not notice at all that the soul must be changed before the body can be changed. So, first must our soul, our heart. Did not God say, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, and the changing of our body? This comes when the hour of God has come for it. And it goes even beyond this time. In verse 7 it says, in Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When one receives a gift and is polite enough, one accepts it and says, thank you. And I believe what we all shall do is to say thank you to God with all our hearts, that He presented us. Just imagine, everything what separated us from God, our Redeemer took from us and burdened Himself with it. And everything what joins us with God, He has given unto us, the redeemed, by grace. Who has words for it? Who shall continue to preach here? A wonderful message. A message of God. A message of salvation. A message of grace. A message of love, of redemption and power. How should God, with Him, not give us everything? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So, we are God's workmanship, and God has everything what we shall do for Him and through Him. He has before ordained that it can be done. In the end, there is no person who could then glory before God. Because even that what we do by His commission, in His name, He already ordained before that it can be done. And so again the scripture is fulfilled, and when we have done everything, whatever He commanded us, then say, you are unprofitable servants. Who is able to do even the least thing? His workmanship are we, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. Everything, let me say it here in closing, everything is planned by God beforehand, determined by God. Beforehand, Christ as the Lamb of God was ordained to die for us. We were chosen before the foundation of the world to be sons and daughters of God. Everything what is taking place with the church is determined beforehand. God even determined that at the end there will be a church without spot and without wrinkle, untouchable, unblameable, she will stand before His throne. Has not John on the Isle of Patmos seen already the various pictures, be it Revelation 7, be it Revelation 15, be it Revelation 19? Everywhere He has seen already completed things, things that were far in the future. But with God, all this is already here. The multitude that John saw, it will be there. Not one will be missing. Everyone will be there. All them whom he saw in Revelation 15 at the sea of glass, they will be there. All them whom he saw in Revelation 19 when it was said, now the marriage of the Lamb is come. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to God. He has already seen everything as if it were already in the past, as it would be here. With God, there is no past and no future. With God, everything is present. He is the I am, the I am, the I am. Perfected for eternity. This gives us faith. This strengthens us. This makes us glad. This makes us grateful that we can give honor to our God without much efforts. He has torn in pieces the divorce certificate. He abolished enmity. He made peace with us, peace with God. And He has made us peacemakers. Also, this is the genuine evidence of a person who has found peace with God. He who found peace with God enters a house and says, the peace of God may it be with this house. How many are there among the believers who can say this with all their heart when they come into a house, that they can wish the divine peace to this house which God has given them? And when there are people of peace, that peace remains as a substance, not just as a word. Then the peace remains, not just the term peace, then the peace remains. But if the peace shall remain, then I must bring it. Then I must be able to give it when it shall remain or not. Brothers and sisters, the time is here where all these words must become a divine reality in our lives. When we speak of love, it must be there. Of peace, it must be there. The things which God promised us in His Word and has given us in Christ must become divine reality. Words have all the others. From us, God expects deeds. And we just heard it, that the deeds which we should do, He has ordained them before for us. Why do I say this again? So that nobody begins to make efforts to make a special, long, pious face. With that, it will not work. But believing with all the heart that what God has given us is true, that it is a substance. The peace is not just a word. The peace is a thing. It's a component. He is our peace. Amen. He is our reconciliation. He is our sanctification. He is all in all. And when we have Him, then we have everything what God has given us in Christ. And Christ is the Word made flesh. And in the church, all the Word must become flesh. And this time is here now. May God bless us all. Amen. We stand up for prayer. We bow our heads, open the hearts, and pray to God. Should somebody be here who not yet consciously made the decision for Christ, who cannot yet report of a day, of an hour, of an experience, when he met the Lord, when he was pardoned, when he received redemption, having experienced salvation and received forgiveness, and who by the Spirit of God, who bears witness to our spirit, whoever has not yet this certainty to be a possession of the Lord. Dear heart, this day can be the most beautiful day and most important day of your life on this earth. The greatest day is the one on whom Jesus, not a doctrine, not an idea, not a philosophy, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes into your heart, into your life. As we are in this way, in reverence and in worship before the throne of God, I would like to ask, if somebody would like to be included into this prayer, raise briefly your hand and put it down again. God bless you. Somebody else. Heavenly Father, you have heard the word. The whole sermon is recorded in heaven. Faithful God, what can we do more than to pass on your offer of grace, the word of the cross, of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of salvation, of the grace. Faithful God, as ambassadors in Christ's stead, we say to everyone, be ye reconciled with God. Faithful Lord, and to all of us, give a new experience, a reviving. When Israel shall be revived after 2 days, how is it then with us? You have given a message, a living message. Your word is spirit and life. We received it. We believed it. May it now produce life, divine life, in us by the Spirit. Faithful Lord, bless all who raised their hands and all who have not done it yet, and us who we want to rededicate our lives to you. Give us grace, faithful Lord, that you could manifest yourself, vindicating your word, glorifying your name. Bless us together from the riches of your grace. We commit all, really all, the whole blood-bought multitude, to you and to the word of your grace, as Paul says it in Acts chapter 20, to you and to the word of your grace. Faithful Lord, here we are. We thank you that you pardoned us. The prison doors have opened. You took captivity captive, and you gave gifts unto men. You set the captives free. You made the blind see, the lame walk. Lord, we thank you for it. And we ask you, let everything what is written in your word and what is determined for the church, in her, that means in us, in all who as members of your body belong to you, may it be manifested. Lord, this is our prayer. You promised it. You will do it. Blessed and praised be your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.